Precious tritium is the fuel that makes this podcast go.
There's only 25 pounds of it on the whole planet.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider...
It seems I've heard that song before.
Call the patent office, copyright the name Green Goblin. I want a quarter every time somebody says it.
That spider freak making me look ridiculous.
Up and away with!
What?
Shazam!
Spider-Man?
Stupid reporters still think puny Parker's Spidey.
Go, Web, go!
We're gonna have a hell of a time.
The story in the end of this issue, kind of like the second part or something, it's completely unrelated, but it just comes out of nowhere and it's quite jarring, really jarring. But what doesn't come out of nowhere is Swinging for Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man number 2 we're reviewing today in our third episode. And I'd just like to say thank you so much for everyone who's kind of tuned in, shared or commented or just spoken to us, because it has been a lot but a bigger feedback than we've ever kind of imagined so early, right?
Yeah, really, really wasn't expecting it to get as much traction as it has. I mean, I spent my former years trying to push my own artwork when I was like 12 or 13, you know, on DeviantArt, and it just... within the amount of time that Spidey Podcast has been out, I've never got this sort of feedback from the amount of time that I've been on DeviantArt for all that time.
Yeah, it's quite mind-blowing, really. I was in it because it's kind of like a cold launch, like there was no promotion.
Yeah, like, we just sort of decided one day that we'd do it.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, isn't it? It's like you've done it and people actually listen to it, and hopefully you get better and meet their expectations and stuff, but just that people have actually listened to something you've made and kind of enjoying it, that's the main thing, really. It's not... I don't want to sound like weird, but it's like we're not making this for anyone except us to laugh at, and it's just stupid just going through
yeah.
it. So really glad that you're kind of joining along, and yeah, we encourage you to kind of read along with us if you want, like you can be part of this as well, be fun. But yeah, man, episode 3 now, and we're on the second issue of Amazing Spider-Man. What's happened so far is kind of Peter Parker was bit by a spider, of course, then turned into Spider-Man, and he's kind of been bumblefucking his way around.
Yeah, he's just been that random hobo that stands at the side of the street begging for money, just passing cars, just constantly complaining that life's unfair. I mean, the last two issues has literally ended on him running into the sunset crying.
I will say this is a turning point. This is kind of where things kind of get a bit better. But last time he got beat up on by the police and they tried to arrest him. Yeah, it was a whole thing. So go back yeah. and listen to those, because we've got to move on, man. We've got to really get into this. A lot to talk about today. It's a really good one. I really, you know, for the first yeah. time, I won't say I didn't enjoy reading the other ones, but this is one that actually was pretty cool. Like, and I didn't yeah. expect that. I thought it was...
Started to find its feet, sort of thing.
Yeah, I just thought, oh, I'm going to laugh at it, and it's going to be, like, kooky 60s stuff. But it is. This one's pretty cool, and it's just... It is proper, like, Spider-Man. I really enjoyed this one. So, yeah, we've got Amazing Spider-Man number 2 come out way back. It's the first appearance of a villain, and I get right into it, mate. Panel 1, straight away. Straight away.
Let's dive in, man.
Dive in, man, because they do. They don't waste any time. So... Issue 2 of Amazing Spider-Man begins with a new menace stalking the streets of New York City, pal. Literally, the first thing we see is this massive kind of albatross chicken shadow over New York. And, like, it's following someone who looks exactly like the detectives from L.A. Noir or L.A. Confidential, you know, with a briefcase and that pinned-up suit, man, just marching down the street. And it's really a chicken. It is really like, do you know them chickens that scream that you can buy from the shop? The shadow looks exactly
oh,
like
the rubber chickens.
Yeah.
Yes.
My dog chews on them, and when they just release and they just whine forever. That's not like the vulture, though. This shadow leaps down. He's obviously the vulture. It's this old-ass, bony-ass, bald man in a chicken suit, kind of robbing people from above. He's flying down, snatching the briefcase. This is weird. And it's not the fact that there's an old man. You know, he's approaching 100, mate. He looks really old. He dives down and steals the briefcase. And the geezer who's been stolen, who's been robbed, screams out the contents of the briefcase. And I think that's a bad move, isn't it? That's like,
oh my god!
If you're stole, if you're robbed, don't go. Please don't take my gold or my fortune. It's like the briefcase is full of dog shit or something. No. It's like say the opposite.
No, that's like having your phone robbed and going, no, my nudes.
The pure value is just like, he's legitimized the robbery. He's like, help, it's a vulture. He stole my briefcase. Oh, it's got a fortune with bonds in. It's like, don't say the contents if they don't know. He snatched the briefcase on a whim because it's a smash and grab robbery, and you've just validated that. You've validated the crime.
You know, the real crime is that his wife got him that briefcase, and the real fortune there was the sentimental value.
Oh man, and no, what the real value is, man, is that his day's been ruined. He's, you know, walking around with his suit and briefcase in the '60s and a giant bony ass chicken man, probably smelling a like wet suede or something, just comes down. It's just, you could, I don't know what he's so surprised. It's like you could literally see him from miles away. It's not,
yeah, he's hardly camouflage. He's just bright green Kirker.
It's just, the bystanders, they're looking at him and they're like, I can't believe it's the vulture. A, the city has a fucking man on fire who literally spends his entire day whizzing around solving crimes. There's also a Spider-Man. So at this point, an old man in a chicken suit, it's not out, you know, it's not out of the realms of normal. I'm pretty sure.
Not out the ordinary, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Sesame Street was broadcasting at this time with Big Bird and all that shit. So this is not, the materials are there.
I'm just picturing someone watching Sesame Street live and the count's there like 1, 2 and then Big Bird's getting wrestled to the ground in the background.
Yeah, Big Bird's wanted for crimes. Police. Yeah, fucking straight live onto gun to his damn head. Ready to blow you out. But man, there's a big menace to Spider-Man and it's not just a vulture. Despite that, remember that impossible rescue mission last time when he saved J. Jonah Jameson's son?
Oh, the big old net.
Yeah, with a big old net, he saved his adult son from destroying it or burning up in the atmosphere and blowing up in a factory.
Yeah, how could I forget?
J. Jonah Jameson won't leave Spider-Man alone, and despite the Vulture being like the big news, Spider-Man's still like the person he attacks. Like, it's just a good... If there's a giant man with a chicken suit committing actual crimes, I think it aimed for him rather than the fucking child literally slinging around. It is.
I don't know. That makes too much sense, that does.
But yeah, Jameson loses his mind because he can't get photos of the vulture. Nobody at all can obviously get a photo of the vulture because he just... At the speed of this aging man defies me. I don't like...
It brings into mind that gif of Jeremy Clarkson's face when he's in the aerial atom.
Oh yeah,
because he's not wearing any headgear, he's just straight bald.
Yeah, that's so like streamlined, aerodynamic. There's no hair.
It's before just... every flight he has to just shave his head just to be on the safe side.
It's just, why have the police not shot him out of the sky at this point? That's what I want to know. That's,
well, to be fair, if you can't shoot him with a camera, I doubt you'll be able to shoot him with a gun.
But you know, with a camera he needs to compose a shot. You can literally just pull out the piece, get him, you know, it's done, you know, the photo, you need composition, you need to frame, you need to get a focus, and that's a...
Hold on, I've just thought of an even better way to capture the vulture.
Go on then.
In the last episode, they built a massive net to catch a rocket fall into the sky, won't it? Just go get the net.
It's there.
Just repurpose it. It's just, it's already there, man.
The technology's there. Dude. It's like the biggest problem is the editor of the Daily Bugle can't get any photos of him. But what he puts on the front page, yeah, he settles for a drawing, like a literal drawing of a bird. That's what he settles for. So he's lost his mind. He can't get photos of the vulture. Nobody at all can. He settles for a drawing of the bird on the front page of his paper. I would have provided you with artwork, but it's just a bird. It's just an actual drawing of a massive bird.
But is it like a really terribly drawn bird, or is it like a...
No, it's like quite artistic. Like they've tried.
It's like, you know, when you watch anime as a kid and they're drawing anime, it's like, is that realism? Or are they...
Is this what they look like?
Also drawing anime. Exactly. You'll never know.
Their contact lenses must be the size of dishes. The Vulture's hot news, yeah. People are speaking about this a lot, and they're doing it at Peter Parker's high school in front of him. They realise there's no photos of all of the Vulture. They get the common sense to say, hang on, if someone actually gets a photo of the Vulture, it's going to be worth a lot, a fortune.
There goes Peter Parker's fucking nose, money's nose sniffing ways, man.
We know he loves a profit because he fell straight into the trap of the chameleon just for a profit.
Definitely.
He wants the cash. I don't blame him. He needs the cash to keep his family going.
I've actually been thinking about this since. You know when the chameleon said, like, I need to broadcast this on a frequency that only a spider would hear. I'm just imagining that there's like 20 pissed off spiders at the meeting point going, where's my money, man?
It's just like they said this would be profitable, and it has been nothing but it's not profitable at all. In fact, it's wasted my time.
Exactly.
In fact, it's not. It's been the opposite of profitable.
I crawled 6 blocks to get here, man. I'm tiny. That takes a lot of time, Chameleon. God damn.
Imagine how long it would take the spider to get up the building.
Exactly.
Forever.
I mean, I'd imagine it would take Spider-Man a long time, man. I played Spider-Man 2 on PlayStation 2. And I'm telling you, getting those coins was a ball ache. That took forever.
Delivering the pizzas? Nah.
Yeah, exactly. Nah,
I wondered about that.
Climbing up a building was a long time to do it on that game, let alone like an actual size of a spider. Anyway.
This is where obviously Peter gets his big idea, as you've latched on, you know, your knowledge now of Peter. You know he wants the money.
Oh, I know he wants that money.
Magazines pay big money for photos, and he knows exactly how to get them. So when he gets home, he scours his home for a camera. So Aunt May gives him Uncle Ben's old camera, you know, obviously something Uncle Ben's had around.
Right, So, like, Peter Parker wasn't just always had a thing for photography. He literally got into photography because he wanted to make more money.
I think that's how most photographers get into photography, no lie. I think it's just so much to do to get money, man.
No, you gotta have raw passion for it, mate. It's just like, you gotta have that.
I bet the people who make money from it, like the paparazzi, that's just taking photos, isn't it?
They're more so the Vulture than the Vulture ever will be.
Whoa. That was really philosophical. Too philosophical.
I'm not a massive fan of the paparazzi.
I don't think anyone is. That's what Peter could have done, man. He could have been the paparazzi, but no, he's there with Uncle Ben's old camera. Obviously, he gets changed up into his get-up, tries to figure out a way to attach the camera to his costume, and that seems like a really simple thing to do now, like a GoPro, but it was, you know, the 60s. So.
Yeah, of course. He had to carry film and all that sort of stuff.
This is where we come into a meanwhile. We head across town, man.
Oh, classic meanwhiles.
Yeah, classic meanwhile. The Vulture started to plan a heist, thanks to the Daily Bugle, which has notified him on the front page that exactly $1 million of precious diamonds is being moved across town.
Now, how many diamonds is $1 million worth of diamonds?
It could be like one, to be fair.
Exactly, like... We don't know. It could be anything. And how's that front page news? Isn't the Spider-Man is still out there?
But I think, man, I think even J. Jonah Jameson's got to take a day off from being a dickhead, so, you know.
Nah, mate, it's a full-time job, that is.
He does get stressed a lot. I've noticed that in these panels, and there's nothing for him to get stressed about. He's making the stress himself. By being so annoyed at a child in Lycra flying across the fucking city. It's just...
It was the 60s. I mean, this day and age, you'd probably be tested for some sort of, I don't know.
High blood pressure. They'd have that in seconds. Strap him up. I'm worried he's going to die in every single panel I see him because he's on the edge.
It's so red. He's on edge.
More on the diamonds. Of course, the Vulture now thinks he's got a heist. But he's smart enough to know they'll be expecting him. So he wants to get these gems in a way that no one would ever suspect. And I'm thinking here that I'd be looking out for the things I wouldn't expect if I was transporting $1 million of diamonds across town.
Well, you think if you was to transport that much amount of diamonds, you may hire, maybe one of the other many superheroes that are about, say, the Human Torch.
And, you know, there's a whole town, city, full of superheroes. Let's not forget the X-Men are just up the road. That's
a good point.
There's a lot going on here. Spider-Man needs to get these photos of the Vulture. He gets the idea. He needs to go up top, you know, scout around for the Vulture. His Spidey senses kick off. He detects the presence of the Vulture and he sets up for the shot. The Vulture passes, pondering how nobody yet has realized how he's managed to fly with his damn, like, chicken wings. He thinks he's really smart because he's like, how could no one imagine me flying? It's just, come on, man. You're not the most impressive person. There's a man literally on fire all the time. An old man in a chicken suit, he literally looks disgusting. Like his old ass, 98-year-old head, flying through the cityscape of New York. He's not the most impressive person. I'm not impressed by him.
No, when you think about how many... I mean, Thor literally just throws his hammer and just holds on to the fucker until he flies.
Yeah, you can't tell me that the Vulture's the most impressive person. And he thinks he is. I mean, he's obviously a criminal. He's obviously deluded, but he thinks he's incredible. But I'm thinking, your suit's whack. You're ugly. You don't have any skills at all except being a criminal. I don't like that. I instantly dislike him. And I don't think he's, like, smart. I don't think he's a supervillain. He's more like he's just stupid.
He's like your kooky uncle.
Yeah, but he's also slightly terrifying in the fact that he's an old man literally flying at 100 miles an hour out of the sky to steal your goods.
That's a good point.
Like, that's not on. Not on. So the Vulture's literally past Spider-Man. And he's throwing messages into the Daily Bugle, into the police office. It's like, I shall steal the diamonds from under your noses, signed the Vulture.
They're like taped to bricks as well, aren't they?
Yeah. How he's managed to hold the bricks and stay in the air, I'll give him that.
He's holding his teeth.
If you sell a tape or duct tape a brick to a pigeon, it's not going to fly. And this is scrawny. He's going to be the same weight as about 10 or so pigeons.
10 or so pigeons.
Maybe 20.
That's how I'm going to weigh things from now on. Just like standing in this corner, there's about, you know, 20 pigeons worth of man.
But man, if you get like a message saying, I'm going to steal your diamonds, would you not change your plans about carrying the diamonds?
Definitely.
That's the first thing I would do is change the plans. But what they do is, what you got to remember as well.
Did they ever think about maybe not transporting $1 million worth of diamonds in one go? I don't know, maybe do a few at a time.
And what you got to remember as well, when the Vulture makes a threat, it's carried out. He doesn't mess around. When he says something, he does it. So if someone's, it's like, if someone with a 100% success rate threatens to do something to you, if you carry out a certain act, you wouldn't carry out that certain act?
No, of course not.
But then again, the policeman goes on that old thing of like, oh, we can't let one person change this plan. We won't bow to criminals. We don't negotiate with terrorists, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, of course.
That's literally what the guy does. He goes, we must go ahead. We must, like, gritted teeth. We have to. And he's like holding the note. And it's like, it's literally, I shall steal the diamond shipment from under your noses, signed the Vulture.
It's literally signed as well. The rest of the note is like caps lock. I shall steal the diamond shipment from under your noses. The Vulture. All in lovely, lovely cursive writing.
He is... He's scary, but he's also a fool. It's just... it's another whole thing. If he can be so smart and he can, you know, carry out 100% hit rate in his robberies, how has he managed the whole time to get stalked across the town by Spider-Man, who's literally bumbling around behind him, trying to take a photo. So as he's been delivering his message, mate, Spider-Man's been stalking him. He trips over, alerts a Vulture, and they get into a scrap, and Spider just gets kicked in the head and concussed and knocked out, and the Vulture carries him off. So that went well. That's another, they tick that up to another success.
Remember how, like, last episode we said that there's a lot of exit points where it could have just been like, this is the end of the series.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely one coming up, mate. Because where he gets taken to, he gets dunked into a water tank. Do you know things on top of buildings? They're like buckets.
Oh, damn.
He gets dunked.
Yeah, yeah.
He wakes up, and of course, he's like, oh, I've got no web fluid anymore because I've wasted it following the vulture to no avail. The water's filling up in this water tower and it's beginning to suffocate him. And because he's a spider, he can't fucking climb out of the bathtub. He's literally trying to climb out of it. He's basically been dunked in this massive metal bathtub and he can't get out of it. He's just sliding up and down. And he thinks, oh, this is the end. And then he goes, wait, I'm actually super strong.
Could you imagine if, just as he's about to get to the edge of the bathtub, the vulture's there with a giant shower head and washes him back down.
Follows Mr. Fantastic's lead and gets a massive newspaper and just swatting at him.
A giant cup.
He's like climbing up the damn thing. And he's like, of course, man, you've got the powers of the spiders. You also get the cons. You don't get all the good things. You can't get out of metal bathtubs. But then he realises, hang on, I'm actually really strong and I'm incredibly athletic. I don't need to crawl up the side if I can brace myself, use my strength and throw myself, like jump up through the top. And like, that was the first thing I'd have tried because I am a spider and I can do that. Thankfully, like, I imagine if he drowned to death in that bathtub and the vulture just dunked him in. Dead. Done. That's the worst fate imaginable so far for him. You forget about being arrested in your costume.
At least he would have been unconscious when it happened.
I don't know, because he woke up and then he was drowning, so it's like...
It's amazing that he didn't already drown them when you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the logistics of this. I don't know if anyone's... The water was rising, but I don't know if the vulture was there with like buckets like filling it up.
Yeah, good point. But, left the hose on. Like when the hot summer's day when you left the hose in the paddling pool.
Yeah, just filling up, it's overflowing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh damn, I better take it. It's like, oh, the maintenance man's like, oh god, I better take this pipe out, and it's just a dead boy in the bottom of it.
Just washes out.
A child like in the it'd be like bloated as hell, man. It'd be nasty.
He takes a hose pipe out and this is just Spider Man like just his lips up against it going. His lips poking out the side of it.
Oh, imagine the stink in that tub as well. It's going to be like hot metal summer's day, roasting him alive. Oh.
Jerry, do you smell that? That's spider smell.
Well, alas, Peter learns from his mistake. He could have drowned to death. But if he's really going to be, and he says, I'm a secret adventurer, and I'm like, ah, that's a... I'd say superhero, secret adventurer sounds lame.
No, because he hasn't actually been a hero yet.
But he hasn't been an adventurer. It's like he's not being like Nathan Drake or fucking Lara Croft, or he's literally walked around the city he knows.
I don't know, man. Stalking a supervillain, that's kind of adventurous. I'll give him that.
But his stalking was kind of clumsily ambling along behind him. It wasn't like, it's just because the vulture's dumb.
To be fair, it's only like his third outing.
Yeah, kind of. It's his first kind of big crime fighting thing. So, I guess. But he's not even trying to fight crime, really. He just wants a photo.
He just wants money, mate.
That's the root of it all, isn't it? The cash. He's already spending it, mate, in his head. When he gets home, he's already cashing in these checks he hasn't got, mate. He prepares an extra webcaps or... And he plans to spend his photo cash on a secret camera that he attaches to his belt so he doesn't need to fiddle around. I think that's you can't bolt for him for that, mate.
So all of his photos from then on in is just at crotch height. Just
that's it. That must be the widest angle lens ever.
It's literally a dick pic.
That's a proper dad joke, man. That's the first one. That was proper dad, that was.
I will own it.
A knee slap. Yeah, I heard that knee slap. I heard it in the background. That's an Uncle Ben joke, that is. Gone too soon, man.
Pour one out.
Pour one out for Uncle Ben, man. And he's scanning his cameras.
Cameras, man.
But the smartest thinking of all, he's actually figured out how the vulture flies. So he works on a device in the background, but he won't tell the reader what it is. Because I think he's aware that there's a reader. Like, it's kind of like, he's not like Deadpool breaking the fourth wall, but he's like, oh, I won't tell anyone my secret. And he's like, you can tell, you can just say it. He's speaking to himself in his bedroom anyway, really loud about the fact he's Spider-Man.
Aunt May's outside. Just like, what was that? Uh-oh, nothing. at all.
Oh, just, there's spiders, man, everywhere.
Another meanwhile.
J. Jonah Jameson in a Daily Bugle office gets a good call. Someone wants to sell pics of the Vulture. Of course, on the other end of the phone, it's Peter Parker. And of course, his age makes Jameson think, how did a kid get these pics of the Vulture? Peter says, I'm not going to sell you them if you ever ask me that again. I'm like, what?
And why are they all at dick height?
Why are they all just the Vulture's fucking wings and his old ass body, his torso? Like ribs and fucking bony ass bits sticking out.
Oh, man. That's what you don't want to sell.
Pure talent. Pure talent. Well, Peter says, I won't sell you them. Yeah, if you ask me that ever again. And Jonah goes, I don't care. I want them bad. And he keeps Peter on like an unpaid retainer so that Peter can only sell to the Bugle.
So Triple J is sort of like some sort of heroin addict, but for sweet content.
He just wants them picks. He just wants to get them on his paper. Can't blame them. Like, as we said, man, the Vulture picks are like, they're needed. There's no like internet or anything. That's just how the Vulture gets spotted.
Mm.
Yeah, man. Peter's got the picks. They want more. So off he goes.
Wait, how was the camera footage not destroyed whilst it was in the water?
I mean, mate, the film can live. Possibly, you know.
I mean, I'm no expert, but I mean, for sure, the camera's fucked.
You are emulating the citizens of New York in your naivety here, man, because there's a man on fire. Like, he's on fire all the time, you know.
that's the answer. Like, that's the answer to everything. It's like, there's a fireman. Your argument is invalid.
If there was a man called the Human Torch, you can literally set himself on fire with two simple words, and he doesn't burn or melt or anything. He's just on fire. Then, you know, you got to suspend disbelief for other things. Like, I mean, the camera footage could have survived. It could not. But we're in his world now. Peter, back at school, mate. He's with his friends. They kind of want to speak to him a bit more, like kind of Flash Thompson, everyone. They're like friends-ish. They just take the piss out of him, and he's there. I'm not sure if they're like friends, but they speak to each other a lot. So, and they're speaking to each other about the big diamond move. And they're going to go and watch it, and I'm not sure, why is that an event? Like, yeah. Is that something you can buy tickets to?
That doesn't make sense. Are these diamonds important? I like, you know, when...
They're worth $1 million, and, you know, we've been over inflation and shit. That's worth a lot.
Well, yeah, of course. But, I mean, like, if the crown jewels are moving, that makes sense because they're, like, you know, the crown jewels. That's like got heritage to the whole of the UK. But these are just diamonds.
Literally someone's diamonds, isn't it? That's it.
Yeah, exactly. Just some guy's diamonds.
They're getting moved across the city. I think they might be in the city vaults or something. And all of Spider-Man's mates go, oh, we want to see the Vulture. Because he said he's going to be there. And I'm like, if a terrorist said, I'm going to blow this up, you don't go to the place to get... see the explosion, you know, you don't dice with danger.
You definitely don't.
Peter, they all go to the event, and Peter obviously heads off, you know, to be Spider-Man just in case something happens, and Flash Thompson just takes a piss out of him. Obviously Flash don't know that Peter's heading off to get changed so he can save the day.
Of course.
Say what you want, Flash. You can't, you know, you ain't the man. You know, Peter Parker's the man. So these fucking jewels have been carried out. It's an event for whatever reason. Of course, the Vulture pops out, but it doesn't come from above, mate. He comes from below. He comes through a manhole as the fucking jewels are being carried out and steals them through the manhole. Because, of course, the geezer's passing and they're like, the Vulture, but how? We expect an attack from above. And I'm like, of course, the fucking, that wasn't going to happen. Of course it wasn't. Just look up and down. You can do both within a second. And he's just, listen, I've got the artwork there for you, mate. He's just reaching up and grabbing the suitcase. And the guy literally has a shotgun. Take aim. He's going to be slow on the ground. He's approaching 100. Just take aim and blow him away. That's it. You know, police are trigger happy. They could just, he'd be gone.
They were transporting the diamonds on foot.
Yes.
See, I'm expecting a parade, an armored van, you know, a motor brigade, like police bikes and stuff. Not just some geezer in a little suit with another briefcase.
To be fair, he's got an armed guard, man. It's like, it's not just him. There's police there. And the fucking vultures just jumped him. And I don't say jump.
I love how the guy that's getting that he's holding the briefcase is just like, the vulture, but how? And he can quite he's literally in this one panel, it explains so much.
There's a lot going on.
Because in this one panel, the vulture is popping out of the subway and grabbing the briefcase. Mate, why are you asking how? You can see how.
People can do this. This is not, you know, unique to the vulture. All kind of mole people fucking pop up and lizard men. It's just like, this is not, anyone could do that. You don't need to be the vulture. So why haven't you covered that base? You know, the vulture's not.
I was about to say, that could have been anybody.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't take any discernible skills to pop up out of a manhole cover and steal that briefcase. I still can't believe it's been delivered by foot.
It's just, so I think there's bad. A lot more going on. There was like a few cars in a different panel where I was like, I ain't going to show you that because it's just like, that's not the main event, man. You want to see the robbery.
To be fair.
He's on foot, though. That's what I can't, is he walking with the cars? Or why not just get in the car? Why is there no bank transfer?
Like, you'd think that you'd be able to like get the doors, like the car that's holding like the briefcase right up close to the door. To make that deposit.
I'm not going to lie, a lot could have happened to avoid this eventuality, like listening to the threat and not doing it. It's just, I mean, as I said, plot A to Z, man. We're there.
A to Z. It just needs to move. Doesn't matter how it gets there, as long as it moves there.
Okay, this is something I did have trouble with, mate. So he escapes through the subway tunnels, he drops into the sewer, and he flies through the entire subway network. And emerges from a subway entrance. And I'm like, nobody saw the vulture going into the subway tunnels. There's no security guards. No one saw this. No one saw him prepping for this. And then suddenly that all
spoiled. No one followed him down the manhole cover.
But you could probably smell the fucker from miles off. It'd stink. It'd smell a human shit.
That raw stench on your ruffled feathers.
Yeah, he's covered in fur and feathers. He'd be head to toe dripping in feces. It's New York City sewers in the 60s, mate. This is the worst sewer. It's the fuck. It's gone. There's gonna be neat. There's everything in it. This is the worst time. the worst city to jump in a sewer, apart from like London in the 1600s. It's the worst time, decade, and place to be in a sewer. So I guess they're like, oh, we wouldn't expect it coming through the sewer. But if you've seen the vulture literally make a beeline into the sewer before this event, how would you not expect him to come from the sewer?
Not a.
He'd be covered in. That's the thing I can't get. He'd be covered in shit. The value of his diamond would drop the second he touches them.
I still can't get over how no one just went in after him. Like, the briefcase is gone. And he's just gone like, oh, well,
fuck it. It's gone.
Yeah, exactly. It's gone. it's that. Well, that's happened. Jerry, I told you we shouldn't have done it. And the guy's just still there, gritting his teeth. No. He's like, must.
That's such a relief. Now I don't have my fucking job to do.
I bet you that geezer gets a job before Spider-Man does.
Wow, Spider-Man. You know, Spider-Man's got like freelance gig now, mate. Yeah, sitting pretty.
Oh, that's a good point, to be fair.
All he's got to do is get these photos, and he's going to get them, mate. Peter's ready for action. He's dressed as Spider-Man, and he cuts the vulture off. Bang.
So Spider-Man's just like, yeah, I knew where this gears is going to pop out of.
Not no, but he knows. He senses the event. So he's like, oh, shit, I've seen the vulture emerge from a sewer with the diamonds and go back into the sewer. I'm going to head him off at like a subway entrance. And I think, as luck turns out,
that makes sense.
You could probably sense him through vibrations and shit. It's not been explained. Not mate, much is
like
explained.
It's like you said, you could probably smell him.
And they have a battle. They have a little scrap. A battle of wits and agility occurs between an elderly man and a teenager. And it's just, I don't know how Spider-Man is literally losing this fight. He's getting beat up on by an old man in a chicken suit who is covered in shit.
whose only power is flight.
And it's not even a power, it's something he made. It's not like he's got a power.
So Spider-Man can do whatever a spider can with his super strength and all that, and his spider sense. He took on pretty much the whole of the Fantastic Four single-handedly. He's getting out-duked by an old man covered in shit.
Yeah. I mean, the ferocious smell of shit must be too much to deal with.
It's messing with your spider sense.
There's a lot of shit that, like, you know, the whole single earth that he's like, flew through.
Spider-Man just there speed. Like, I'm so glad I didn't cut nostril holes into this mask.
They get into the fight. Spider-Man dodges around, uses his spider sense to kind of get by. And the Vulture thinks he's got the win because the sky is my element, so I'm going to drag you up there. Spider-Man whips out a device he's been planning to use, the one he's made, kind of without telling anyone. He just said, I'm making a device. He attaches his device to the Vulture, and the Vulture's like, oh shit, now we're both dead, because they both come like crashing down to Earth. But Spider-Man literally goes, see ya, and uses his web and fucks off. And I think that's the most fucking baller move he's pulled out so far. And the Vulture's face is just like, he's plummeting to the web. He's like, what? The Spider-Man can shoot web? And I'm like, what the fuck? Come on, man. You should have expected... The Vulture's dumbass, though. That, I think we've established that. But the Vulture lands on a rooftop.
Yeah.
Where he's apprehended, smelling of shit. And he begs the police not to laugh at him. And they're all like just creasing at this old man covered in shit with his broken ass goddamn Vulture costume. And the device, mate, the secret behind the device and the flight, it was magnetic. It was magnets. Magnets all along.
How do they work?
But the magnets were keeping him up, yeah. So Spider-Man made an inverter to send him down. But in real life, I imagine that would have sent him down with such crushing force. Like, it would have just sent him fucking right down.
Like terminal velocity.
Spider-Man isn't done though. He's got a bit of money, man. He pays off the rent, yeah, and he sorts out Aunt May's kitchen. What a guy.
Oh, tell you what, that's the first nice thing. That's the first unselfish thing he's actually done. Considering what made him like go ahead in the last issue was watching Aunt May have to sell her jewelry. That's the first nice thing he's actually done.
You know what, man? It is weird how ridiculously selfish he is. Like, so far.
Oh, yeah, ridiculous.
But I guess that comes with being it comes with the territory, I guess. And, you know, this has been a turning point. The Vulture's rotting in jail. The Vulture don't want... He's promised his revenge against Spider-Man, but Spider-Man's bought a kitchen for his aunt. He's got money. He's bought a new camera. He's got web fluid in his arms now. He's all sorted. And there was another part, man, and I ain't going to speak about it because it was fucking strange.
It's super weird.
I'll wrap through it real quick. Basically, the day after the Vulture thing, Spider-Man sold a weird-ass radio that leads into this geezer called the Tinker, and it's another weird old man. I guess you can kind of see the thing.
Wait. How was the Spider-Man sold a radio?
Oh, it's Peter Parker, sorry.
Oh, there we go. So, okay, yeah. That makes sense.
But the Tinkerer isn't just an old man. He's an alien with green aliens working underneath a repair shop using their radios to learn military secrets. Spider-Man accidentally kind of interrupts them, steals their secrets, and he sets the lair on fire and escapes by accident. And all the people are like, Spider-Man, you've caused the fire and people are going to die. But they're aliens, so they kind of fuck off in a spaceship and Peter Parker goes back to class and that's it. And I'm like, what?
That's like a fever dream.
that was like 3 or 4 pages long. It was really rapid. It was just like bang, bang, done. It was like, what? I wish I didn't mention it because it ruins the validity of our story. It's like, that's a hit to my street cred reading that out is. I didn't like that.
I think that was a hit to my IQ.
Yeah, so that's that, man. That's the Vulture. That's the Tinkerer thing at the end. I didn't really like the Tinkerer thing.
You know what? I did enjoy that issue. That was a good issue.
That was fun. No, that was genuinely fun to read because it was just like, it was like pure innocent comedy coming through in that.
In a way, I can kind of understand where these issues are coming from because this is our third episode now and we're kind of finding our feet And it feels as though the Spider-Man.
Oh, you're gonna love the next one, real man. The next, if you think this one's good, this one's got a fuck up at the end with that Tinker thing that ruined it. But the next one is full fat glorious, man. It is seriously good. So that'll be episode 4.
Like a cheeseburger with extra cheese.
Oh no, nah, this is gourmet. This is.
Oh, it's prime steak.
This is real good, yeah.
Or for, like, you know, the vegan audience, a portobello mushroom with a nice risotto.
Yeah, we cater for all here, man. You know,
definitely.
So, Brad, that's the end of that one, man. Everyone, thanks for listening. Oh, yeah, we came quick, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Really did enjoy that episode.
Glad you did. I don't think the Vulture enjoyed plummeting to fucking Earth. There we go. You can't win them all. You know, no, that 100% success rate takes a hit.
Definitely.
You know, win some, you lose some, as they say. You can find us at all good places podcasts are, you know, Apple Podcasts, Acast, Overcast, Pocket Cast. And you can find us on Twitter at Spidey Podcast. So that's at Spidey Podcast on Twitter. And you can find all our links there and you can speak to us. So like, comment, share, subscribe, you know, that whole business. It helps us know what to do, where to go. We appreciate feedback, don't we, Brad?
Yeah, definitely. Any constructive criticism that you can give us, you know, massively appreciated. Any feedback at all, really. Like we said at the beginning of the episode, we wasn't expecting to get any traction at all, but looking at the analytics sides of it and seeing how many people have been listening, how much they've been listening, absolutely jaw-dropping. And I wanted to say thank you, and you know, it gets our heads massive because now we're big-headed and it puts some spring in our step. So if you guys could keep listening, sharing it, liking it, commenting on it, talking to us, all greatly appreciated.
Yeah, just join in. We're improving the mics kind of down the line. We've got that sorted. So yeah, we will be at matching levels of quality soon. I think it'll be something to look forward to, man. Like the next episode, next time, mate, we'll be meeting some serious evil. So you can catch that on next Tuesday. And again, thank you very much for listening. It's made my day.
Can't wait.